Yeah, let's welcome him.
Hey, good morning. My name's Dane. I'm the pastor here. And we have introduced to you last week our vision for 2025 and or 2026. 2026, and we're going to be talking a little bit more about that today, what that is about. It's called Live Sent. You can buy these in the lobby right after church. So Live Sent is this idea, because last year our vision statement was in Christ, that because we are in Christ, we are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. And so we focused in on what it means to be in Christ, what that looks like, the all around that idea. Now that we are in Christ, we want to be a movement. That's what we are as a church. We are a movement for all people to connect to God, to others, and to the world. That's our overall mission statement. But we want to be lived sent, to live out what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And that is in three areas of our lives. And those three areas are discover, deeper, and go. And what that is talking about is discover is this, is that we desire that all people can come to discover who Jesus is, to come to know him as their Lord and Savior, to walk with him. So there's people here today. Somebody in this room today, maybe a lot of people in this room, who knows, has not entered into that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We want you to discover who he is. And so every Sunday, man, we preach from the Bible, we talk about Jesus. Jesus is above all and in all and through all. Everything's about Jesus. And so we want people to discover, but we also want to go outside the church walls so people to discover who Jesus is. And then the next step is to go deeper, which we're going to talk a little bit more about today, that through life groups, through mentor groups, through different avenues, that once we know who Jesus is, we don't want to just stay there. We don't want to just like, hey, I got to punch my ticket. I'm on my way to heaven. No, we want to know who this Jesus is, right? We worship him, so I might as well get to know who I'm worshiping and grow deeper in my walk with him and understanding him. And that we believe that happens in community. That does not happen in isolation. That happens in sitting face to face with people. I mean, here today, you're listening to some crazy bald dude up here, but you're sitting and looking. What we want is encourage you to get in circles and talk and discover and grow and go deeper with God. And then the last one is go. Go is about that we all have these ministry gifts. Is it my beard? Sometimes, it's a beautiful thing, but it can be an, can't grow it here, got to grow it here. So what we go is we all have these ministry gifts that God has given us. We want to discover what those gifts are and use them for the kingdom, for the glory of God, to serve one another. So ministry within the church, but also missions. We're missions giving, missions going, missions participation church. And so going on mission and sharing the gospel with others. So there's three aspects of this live sent idea. That's discover, that's deeper, that's go. But it's all centered around one thing, and that one thing is your one more. And so every single believer, every follower of Jesus Christ has one person in their life that doesn't know Jesus. And 2026, we want those one mores, those one more persons, to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, to be transformed by the power of God. And so it's all about this one more, reaching one more person. We're in the middle of a fasting and prayer as a church. And so as we are praying and fasting, we are praying for our one mores, where I've encouraged you to write that one more person down and discover who Jesus is and walk with him. I talked to a couple here this morning. He says, we were invited by some friends. I guess we're there one mores, you know? And so you may be one of the one mores coming today. Welcome. We hope you encounter Jesus, and that's our desire. And so Jesus said these words, because all this lives in is based upon Scripture. Jesus said these words in John chapter 20, verse 21. He said this, As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. Yes. Right? And then in Matthew 4:19, he goes, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And so, as followers of Christ, God has called us to go, to live this life out, sent, to be active, to be a movement, to reach lost people. So last week, I shared with you that about Discover, and Discover is based upon love. Everything we do is about love. God loved us, and so we're going to love others. Everything about it. So God loves, we love. And so it's all centered around that. So today we're going to talk about what it means to go deeper, how to go deeper in our walk and in our relationship with Jesus Christ. So having said all of that, let's pray, and then we'll dive right in. So our good and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for today. God, we stand here or sit here in this room, and what an honor it is to just gather together and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. To be here and feel your presence, to feel peace, to feel strength, to feel hope. And what a glorious honor it is to open up your word and hear you speak, to have you move in our lives. And so we pray that we just don't listen and go away and not change, but that we would listen and walk in obedience, changed by the power of your word. Be glorified in and through this service, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I was just realized while I was talking, I was talking really fast. So you know why I do that? It's because I listen to podcasts on like 2 speed. And so I'm on 2 speed right now. I mean, how many ever listen to like audiobooks and podcasts on higher speed? Because like, who wants to listen to somebody slow and I don't know why I'm saying that, but I had a lot of coffee this morning too, so God bless you, man. You're gonna receive it, right? So okay. So how many make New Year's resolutions or goals? How many make it a resolution? I'm never gonna make a resolution. So I'm a goal-oriented person. That's just my type. That's how I function. I have goals every day. I sit down and I write out, these are the goals I want to do by the end of the day. I have monthly goals. I have quarterly goals. I have yearly goals. It's just how I am wired. So if you're wondering, oh yeah, that makes sense. That's just me, how I'm wired. But at the beginning of the year, many people make resolutions or goals for the new year. It's a time to sit and go, okay, new year, new me or whatever, I'm going to do these things. So I'm going to work out more. I'm going to join a gym. And that's why if you're looking to join a gym, don't do it in January. Wait till February when all the other people have kind of filtered out. And so you join a gym, or you're going to eat healthier. You're going to do these things to be a better you, to read the Bible more, or to pray more, or join church, or whatever. All these goals that are really great goals and things to achieve. But did you know what last Friday was, just 2 days ago was? It's become known across America, especially, it's known as Quitter's Day. You can look it up, Google it. The second Friday in January is considered Quitter's Day. It's when the people who have set out with good intentions, good desires, I'm going to resolute, or I'm going to make a goal that I'm going to do this, and then by the second Friday, they've already given up. And there's a lot of different reasons for that. There's, you know, they may say, well, I've already failed. I said I was going to read the Bible every day this year. I made it through January 2nd. Here it is, January 10th, you know, and you already give up. And so there's those things. There's all kinds of reasons why we tend to give up. Generally, a person my age who's over 50, but not quite a golden nugget, just to let you know. For the last like 10 years, I go to the doctor and do a yearly physical. And I usually do this around my birthday in June 25th, in case you're just wondering what to, you know, mark it on your calendar. But I decided to go this year in January, and every year for the last 10 years, my doctor says, Dane, you got to get that cholesterol down. Your cholesterol points are too high. How many have ever heard this from a doctor before? Okay, I'm not the only one. And so I'm like, yeah, you're right, doc. You know, got to get that cholesterol down. And I go out, and for like a day, I'm thinking about it. And then I forget about it the rest of the year until my next physical says, oh, yeah, that cholesterol thing. Yeah, yeah. And I think that's a lot of us, when it comes to walking with God, we have this desire, we have this passion within us that, man, I want to go deeper. I want to understand who Jesus is. I want to get involved in church, or I want to read my Bible. I want to pray. But it kind of fizzles out sometimes, where you start off and you're gung-ho, ready to do it, but then all of a sudden, whatever happens, life happens, and it kind of fizzles out, and you enter into that statement of quitter's day. And so what we need in our to go deeper in our walk with the Lord is not some kind of motivational speech from the pastor in January. That's not what you need. That's like my doctor saying to me, Dane, get your cholesterol down. Oh, yeah. And then you leave and you don't even think about it. What you need to go deeper with your walk with the Lord is the Holy Spirit in you. It's being filled with the Spirit, and it's by the Spirit that you're able to walk in the power and the desire to go closer with God. So it all centers around the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in us. That Holy Spirit in us sparks that devotion to serve Him. And so back in Acts, the book of Acts is a wonderful book. It's an awesome book. In fact, later on this year, we're going to do a series through the book of Acts. And in it is the birth of the church. It's how the church started. And then it shows examples of what the church did. And in Acts chapter 1, Acts 1:8 in specific, is Jesus is with all of his followers, the disciples. In other parts of scripture, we read that there's like 500 people there. And Jesus says to them, he says, I want you to go and pray. And when you go and pray, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you and you're going to receive power. And that power is going to enable you to be a witness, first here in Jerusalem, then in Judea, then Samaria, then the other most parts of the world. And then he's like, oh, and he ascends up into the clouds, and they're standing there looking up into the clouds, and these angels come and says, what are you doing? Go do what he said. And so they go. And there's 500, 120 listen to him. It's typical church right there, you know. But they go, and in Acts chapter 2, they are praying, and we're going to read this passage of scripture. It says in Acts chapter 2, it's on this day called Pentecost. Pentecost is, the word pente means 50, and it's 50 days after Passover. So you had Passover, or what we would say today, Easter. 50 days later is the celebration of Pentecost, and Pentecost is this celebration of when God came and spoke to Moses and the Israelites and gave them the law. And so when God led the Israelites out of Egypt, and there was the very first Passover, he led them to the mountain where Moses went up on the mountain and received the law. That was 50 days, okay? And so there's this celebration called Pentecost, where the Jewish people would gather around, they would come to Jerusalem and celebrate and remember that. So that's what's happening here in Acts chapter 2. So let's read it. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they're sitting. Isn't that right there just amazing? Let's stop there. A sound of a mighty rushing wind. You ever heard a mighty rushing wind? Like, so powerful, your dog like runs underneath the couch. You know, that's the sound of a mighty rushing wind. And it says this, and divided tongues as fire appeared to them. So you got these tongues of fire appeared and rested on them. And it says, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus said, you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, so here they are in this room. There's the sound of wind. There's these tongues of fire. The Holy Spirit fills them, and they begin to speak in other tongues. Now, the other tongues here that they're speaking is a language that they did not know beforehand, an earthly language that they did not know beforehand. All of a sudden, I'm American, so I speak one language. That's what Americans do. We speak one language. Every other country in the world speaks multiple languages, right? Yep. So they're like Americans. They didn't know this language, and all of a sudden they're speaking this language. It'd be like me speaking German or anything other than English. And so they're just speaking, and people begin to hear them speak in their own language. Well, how do you know that, Dane? Verse 5. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation and under heaven. So why were they there? I gave you the answer. Pentecost, right? They were there. And at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? And there were a bunch of people from a bunch of countries that I cannot pronounce. So we're going to jump down to verse 11. Both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. So this is an amazing thing that take place, right? I mean, they're speaking a language they didn't know. People are hearing them in that language. And what they're hearing is the mighty works of God. It's awesome. And then they start thinking, what is going on here? This is confusing. And if you read on, they think, well, it must be because they drank too much wine. So apparently in that day and age, to learn a new language, all you have to do is drink wine. So what we're going to do on our missions trip, our next missions trip out of country, we're going to Napa doing a wine testing. Right, Scott? Were you down with us? And then suddenly, bam, you can speak the other language, apparently, according to these people. But what happens here is Peter stands up, the same dude that was denying Jesus a few weeks earlier, stands up and says, we're not drunk. So I guess we can't do that, Scott. We're not drunk, but this is, and he begins to preach from the prophet Joel. And he begins to point to them about Jesus Christ. Amen. And it says that 3,000 people received Christ and were baptized. This is why baptism is so important that we're doing in a couple weeks. When you receive Christ, the first step is baptism. Amen. And so they were baptized, and so there was 3,000 people, and it's the birth of the church. It's the start of the church. So we look at this and say, okay, this is what the church did. How did they react and how did they go deeper in their walk with God? And so that's what we're going to look at today in Acts 2, verse 42 through 47, what they did to go deeper. And it says this, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and the fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, and praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So there's a lot that they did. I want to focus in on verse 42. Let's go back to verse 42. They devoted themselves to four things: the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking bread, and to prayers. And I want to focus on this word devoted. They devoted themselves to this. Devoted here is this word prokartario, and it means this. It means intentional, ongoing commitment. It's an intentional, ongoing commitment. In the last service, my good friend Steve Derrick comes to the first service, and he was a greeter at the door, and Steve was proudly wearing his Chicago Bears beanie today because the Chicago Bears are finally in the playoffs and they won a game. But I pointed this out, that Steve Derrick was devoted to the Bears long before this season, all the way back even before 1985 when the Bears were actually good. So back in the 1900s is when they were good. So it's this devotion, this intentional, ongoing commitment that this early church was doing is let me give you some examples of what this means, because I think devotion to who God is and what God has done is based upon our faith in who he is and what he has done. So in Hebrews chapter 11 is considered the heroes of the faith chapter, and it lists all these different people in the Old Testament about their faith, and really, you can say about their devotion to God. You had Noah, where God comes to Noah and says, build an ark, because it's going to rain. It had never rained before. And he's supposed to build an ark of something he's never even seen. And he does it. Why? Devotion. I'm devoted to God. And I trust him at his word. You have Abraham, where God comes and speaks to Abraham and says, I want you to leave where you're living now, and I want you to go to the place that I will show you. He doesn't say, go here. He just says, leave, and along the way, I'm going to show you. That's crazy. But he gets up, and who has greater faith, Abraham or the wife that follows him? I'm saying the wife that follows him, right? And so they get up and they go, and God shows how he's devoted to God. He's devoted to God and to God's word. I trust it. I have faith in it. You have Joshua. Joshua is leading the Israelites after Moses has died into the promised land, and they're about ready to face the enemy that is overwhelming, stronger and bigger than they are. And the first city that they come to is the city called Jericho. And Jericho has these tall walls around it. No one has ever defeated Jericho before. And Joshua is out there wondering, okay, what kind of military action am I going to do with these people to defeat this city? And God shows up and says, here's the plan. You're going to walk around the city every day once for 7 days. Then on the seventh day, walk around it seven times. Then on the seventh time, worship. Blow the trumpet and worship. That's going to work. That's a crazy military strategy, right? And he does it, and it happens. Why? Devotion, faith. And you go to the New Testament. We just celebrated Christmas, and what does Mary and Joseph receive this news that, hey, Mary's a virgin, but she's going to give birth to the Son of God. And their response was, okay. Because the angel says, nothing is impossible with God. And when you believe those words, you're devoted. You're devoted to it. And then we say this all the time here at New Life Fellowship, if the tomb is empty, anything is possible. If Jesus really rose from the grave, then nothing's off the table. Cancer can be healed. Marriage is restored. Finances, all that. Anything is possible. But it starts with this devotion, and the devotion is sparked by the Holy Spirit in us. It's the Holy Spirit living within us. And so it's not just this pull yourself up by the bootstraps and make it happen. It's trusting in what God is going to do. So this devotion also comes from realizing that God is devoted to you and I. That God is devoted to you. Some of you need to hear that today. That God loves you and he is devoted to you. So how do you know that? John 3:16 is the most famous verse in all the Bible, right? What does God do? For God so loved the world, loved you, that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's devotion to you, right? That's love poured out to you. Another one in Romans chapter 8, in Romans 8 is at the end of it. Romans 8 is the best chapter in all the Bible, in my opinion. At the end of Romans 8, it talks about nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. We read this scripture last week in 1 John 4, 9 through 10. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins, that he paid for our sins in full. It is paid in full. He loved us. He's devoted to you. And then in Matthew 6, verse 30 through 33, Jesus talking. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. These are scriptures that point that God is devoted to you. He loves you, wants to provide for you, and take care of you. And then Pastor Johanna preached a couple of weeks ago from Lamentations 3, and it says this, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Amen. That sounds like a God who's devoted to you, yes. Right? His mercies are new every single morning to you. God loves you. Amen. He cares about you. He doesn't want to leave you the same. He wants to transform you. He wants to make you a new creation. His love penetrates your sin and delivers you and sets you out of that hell that you were in and gives you a new life. God loves you so much, he poured out his wrath on his son, Jesus, for you and clothes you with his righteousness. God is all for you. It's not all about you, but he's all for you. And so we read in verse 42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, and to breaking bread, and to prayer. Four things, real quick. They were devoted to reading the Word. Listen, we need to be in the Word daily. The Word of God is, the Bible says the Word of God is alive. What that means is this, is that you can read the same Word over and over again, and all of a sudden you read it, and you're like, whoa. That really spoke to me today. Has that ever happened to you? Yeah. Happens to me all the time. Yeah. Where by the Holy Spirit, it speaks to you and challenges you and it transforms you. Be in the Word. Find somebody to read the Word of God with. I love that. My wife and I, every morning we sit down and we read God's Word together. And when we read it together, we start asking questions about it. We go, hey, what do you think this means? What do you think this means? And it comes even more alive when I can discuss it with somebody. So find a version that makes sense to you. I know we elevate the King James Version, but I've never heard any of you ever speak King James. If you did, you were at a Shakespearean play. Okay? Find a version that makes sense, that you're understanding. Right? I preach from the ESV because I like the ESV. So I preach from the ESV. But in my personal devotion times, I read from the NLT, the New Living Translation, because it speaks to my Dane brain. I get it. And so I use the YouVersion Bible app. What I like about the YouVersion Bible app is you can hit play, and it actually talks to you, and I can make it into like a British accent. That sounds pretty holy, you know? And so just let it speak to you, let it encourage you, and find a plan and read it together. I shared with you guys a few weeks ago, there's an organization called Center for Bible Engagement that studied over 100,000 people and discovered this rule called the rule of four. And the rule of four is this, is what they found is if somebody reads the Bible 0, 1, 2, or 3 times a week, really no change happens in their life. But if they read the Bible at least four times a week. Again, this is a study over 100,000 people. At least if they read the Bible at least four times a week, they're 228% more likely to share their faith, over 400% more likely to memorize scripture, 59% less likely to view pornography, 30% less likely to struggle with loneliness. They are also less likely to overeat, engage in sex outside of marriage, neglect their family, lie, lash out in anger, drink excessively, gossip, or overspend. Listen, it's not about just reading God's word, but allowing the word of God read you, allowing the word of God to penetrate your heart. That's why I think that power of four is like, man, the Holy Spirit begins to work. Because just think of this. Just think of what we're calling it. We're calling it the word of God. We kind of don't even think about that, but that's what it is. God speaking to you. We should be in awe. There should be a holy reverence when we open this up and say, huh, God's speaking. And I'm reading his word. And so take it seriously. Find somebody to read it with. Write a journal. Have a plan to go forward and just do it. And then second, they were devoted to fellowship. This is more than hanging out on Sundays. Sunday mornings are great. Hey, how are you? Good, fine, hi, good. That's not fellowship. Fellowship happens in community, amen, in small groups, in gathering around. That's why these life groups are so important, where you can grow and learn and be in fellowship with one another, where you can talk together, share together, pray together, laugh together, mourn together in fellowship. It's the Greek word is koinonia. It's the same word that koinonia is the same word of how we describe the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in perfect relationship. And so that is what we desire within our church, that we get involved in community, in relationship with one another, where we're sharing together and encouraging one another. I shared this example before where Paul writes in Corinthians that the church body is like a body, and a physical body. And he says, can the hand say to the mouth, I don't need you, or the ear, or, you know, he's saying, we need each other in the body. So imagine today you walk out of church today and you're going to your car, and on your way to your car, you see a severed foot. And feet in and of themselves are pretty disgusting. A severed foot, you look at it and you would automatically think, something has gone terribly wrong, right? There's a severed foot here that's dying and decaying, and there's somebody walking around without a foot, right? Both are in pain. If you feel like, man, I don't really need church, I don't really need groups, I don't really need that, you are basically saying, I'm a severed foot. I'm out here by myself, and I'm going to do it all on my own. And who else is hurting? We are. Because you're not involved. We are missing you. You need us. We need you. We need each other. And listen, I understand that there's groups and people that are, you just don't mesh. I get that. You may join a group and you're just like, I don't know about these people, you know? And you're just like, it's not, you know? That's fine. Find another group. That's okay. You know, I keep saying the Golden Nuggets keep wanting to get me. I love them, but they're old. I'm not that old yet. And so find a group that where you're like, man, I could really relate with these people. I like these people. And it's weird, they actually like me. And so find a group that makes sense and that you could join in and be a part of this koinonia, just growing together. And then number three, they devoted themselves to breaking bread. This involves two things real quick, two things. Breaking bread has to do with the same language as communion, where Jesus broke bread, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciple. I think in every life group, you should make a plan to have communion together. And if you think, well, none of us are pastors, you're ordained to do communion. Have communion together. Break bread, remembering the sacrifice, the blood and sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Break bread together. And then I think second means is you eat. You eat food together. You fellowship together. You enjoy company. Our life group from last semester, we got together and for a Christmas party. It wasn't planned by the church. It was just, hey, you guys want to get together for a Christmas party? And we did it and we had fun. And so getting together and breaking bread is just about enjoying things outside of maybe a church activity and just having fun and fellowshipping with one another. And then number four, they devoted themselves to prayer. Listen, prayer is so important. We have prayer and worship nights. In fact, first Saturday of February, we're going to have a prayer and worship night. We have prayer partners every Sunday. I would encourage you that these altars are always open. Whether we're singing songs or me preaching or any time, man, just come and just kneel before the Lord. And in fact, at the close, we're going to have worship here in about 2 minutes. The altars are open. Say, man, I just want the Holy Spirit to come and minister. There's something physical about coming forward that transforms us. Instead, man, I'm taking that step, initial step of just drawing close to God. And so praying together. And if you say, man, I'm okay, I don't really need prayer, let's think about that for a second. Because Jesus, before he went to the cross, goes to his disciples and say, hey, would you pray with me? My heart is heavy. Would you pray with me? If Jesus asked people, his disciples, to pray with him, I think we could ask somebody to pray for us. Yes. Don't allow pride or arrogance or I got it. You don't got it. Pray with one another. You don't have to share every secret detail. Just, man, pray with me. Pray with me. And so be vulnerable. Just, man, I just need prayer. I just need prayer. And so take advantage of praying with one another. So devotion to four areas of how they got deeper. They were devoted to the word. They were devoted to fellowship. They were devoted to breaking bread. And they were devoted to prayer. So what is our response? I think it's not just doing those things. It's got to be stirred within us by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Paul talks about this in one of his letters. He says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. That implies this is an ongoing being filled. I think a great prayer for all of us to do every single day is when you wake up and say, Holy Spirit, fill me. Fill me with your presence today. Give me wisdom with people I interact with. Fill me with your spirit as I go into this meeting. Fill me with your spirit as I correct my kids. Fill me with the spirit as I interact with my spouse. Fill me with your spirit. Fill me with your spirit as I open your word. Fill me with your spirit as I fellowship with brothers and sisters. Fill me with your spirit as we break bread. Fill me with your spirit as I pray. Have an intentionality in your heart, in your mind, to daily rely on the Holy Spirit. And when we rely on the Holy Spirit, it's not about, oh, I got to do this. Oh, I missed a day. It's about, it's just naturally happening. It's just naturally coming about because that desire is birthed by the Spirit of God. So we're gonna invite the worship team to come up. And our response here this morning is just praying that. Lord, right now I don't really have a desire to do any of these things. Or I may have a desire for one, but not the other. I don't have a desire for getting together with other people or reading my Bible or whatever, say, Lord, fill me with your spirit that that desire takes place, that I can be devoted to you in these areas, not by earning anything, but out of love and out of grace, your spirit is pouring in my life. And so as they sing, I would encourage you to sing that within your own heart. If you want to come forward and pray that, Lord, fill me with your spirit today, do that. If you want to do it where you're sitting, you can do that. But let's stand, would you? Holy Spirit, would you come? Desire to grow and to know you more. In Jesus' name.